Armstrong and Getty.
The birthplace of talk radio.
I hear all these idiots and fools and jackasses on radio.
What an introduction that was. Holy God.
My gosh.
Nobody does it better.
Kids, we don't want another incident here, okay?
Yeah.
It's such a bizarre world.
I apologize for that. All right, go, go.
No, I was talking about my turkey.
This is Ed McMahon.
And now, he is Armstrong and Getty.
Live from Studio C.
Very deliberate pace, senor.
A dimly lit room, deeper than the bowels of the Armstrong and Getty Communications compound. Today, what is today? Wednesday, trash day. Luckily, I put the trash out. We're under the tutelage of our general manager.
The circular firing squad. Last night's Democratic debate. Oh, my. Oh, my. Dumpster fire out back of a spit show. Great Scott.
In what sense did you feel that way?
Oh, it was, well, it was everybody talking at once, yelling at each other, everybody taking brickbats to each other's character and policy. It was a circular firing squad. It was like a deliberate attempt by a party to bring itself down. Of course, this sort of thing is forgotten immediately once you get into the general, but it was entertaining.
Are there more of these?
I don't think there are. Well, there aren't until after Super Tuesday, and after that, it's not so super to have them anymore.
I'm not sure I could watch another one. I didn't watch all of last night, but I'm not sure I could watch another one. I've kind of lost interest in that.
You know, it's funny, just psychologically speaking.
Yeah,
I was texting back and forth with a handful of friends. Including one who I'm absolutely certain was hammered, but
judge that through text. How hammered your friends are?
Yeah, there's something about it, just the feel of it.
Texting kind of evolved post me drinking. So what are the telltale signs of drunken texting?
Oh, the abruptness of things. I mean, just like really strong statements, then no follow ups and no replies, then a follow up that's like off topic.
Some people do this naturally, but sending a single message in multiple texts, right? Like kind of breaking up your sentences in weird spots, accidentally hitting send and then having to finish right? Like that.
That's so, a good one.
Two texts for one sentence sort of thing.
Or your first text being like really strong and out of nowhere.
Right.
Yeah, that's a sign of a drunk texter. But anyway, I texted Craig, the Obamacare lawyer, Craig, the healthcare guru. I said, this is unbelievable. I can't turn it off. And then 60 seconds later, I texted, I can't take this anymore. I'm turning it off. Because
sounds about right.
It had that feel, didn't it? It was just, it was such a spit show that you just watched fascinated. Then after a while, I felt my human spirit was dying. So I had to turn it off.
Well, we'll play some highlights throughout the morning or clips that give you an indication of what happened, because I assume most of you didn't watch certainly the whole thing. Although the last debate had the highest ratings in the history of Democratic debates. So,
yep.
I don't know about last night.
Well, and I think a lot of folks are curious to know who's most likely to go up against the Tangerine Tornado.
Yeah.
And we'll offer our take on that.
What would the headline be? The headline's got to be that Bernie had his first rough night ever. That's got to be the headline, isn't it?
Bernie
never had a rough night in any of these debates.
I would say Bernie withstands multiple beatings would be my headline.
But he did get booed three times, which has never happened in any of the debates he's been in.
Yeah, well, the crowd was out of control. The moderators could not control. It was a spit show, as the kids say, but not spit. The stupid FCC won't let us swear.
Elizabeth
Actually,
Warren.
It's more that we don't want to inflict that upon you folks.
Elizabeth Warren continued to beat up on the one billionaire Bloomberg. She just has it in for him for some reason. He's not even on the ballot in the state they're debating in, and she ain't going nowhere. But whatever, she's decided to spend her time beating up the little billionaire down on the end of the stage for some reason.
I'd forgotten Bloomy wasn't on in South Carolina either, no. So he's on nothing till Super Tuesday,
Right. We got to talk coronavirus later. Is it an overreaction or a proper reaction all in the United States and around the country? I know that, like, locally, There were events canceled, what, a month ago. That is guaranteed an overreaction.
Mm. Yeah, that was just silly.
But one thing I do know is that post-Katrina, George Bush's handling of that hurricane, and a snowstorm here and there for various mayors like Bloomberg, mm-hmm. you can only pay a political price for not being prepared.
Correct.
You will pay no political price for overreacting. And I think everybody has figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pretend everything is Armageddon, you will be okay politically.
Even if you spend heavily from the Treasury?
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's, you know, in sympathy.
So you have to watch out for that. That's just the fact of the politics of it.
In sympathy with the authorities, there is no exactly right reaction. I mean, especially politically, you're either under or over. There's no such thing as perfect.
Right, but as a voter, it's hard to figure out how big a deal is something, because people can go crazy over and it's just covering their asses.
Sure.
Yep. As opposed to what they actually are afraid of.
That's not actually how the coronavirus is transmitted, Jack. Anally.
Uncovered butts.
Right.
Has nothing to do with it.
Gluteally.
We're kick off the show by introducing everybody in the squad, and there's our board operator, Michelangelo, pressing buttons, flipping toggles, pulling levers. How are you this morning, Michael?
I'm doing okay. I didn't watch too much of the debate, but
good
I'm
for
hoping,
you.
I'm hoping we have a lot of Tom Steyer, because I think, from what I've heard, he dominated last night. But I didn't watch much, but that's all I did.
That's funny.
Oh, boy.
Why is he up there? Because he's a billionaire, and by definition of his financial success, he thinks he should be president.
Bit of a limp noodle, in my estimation.
What's amazing, who did I see Texas last night? It's a testament to what a great country we are that a guy like that could become a billionaire.
That a limp beta male like him could become a billionaire. Yes, there's some truth to that. Yes.
You know, I wonder if when he's speaking on camera and they're just showing him on camera, the other candidates, this is their snack break, so they can quickly shovel food in and then...
Yeah, it stirs up there so they can go pee if they have to.
Right.
There's Positive Sean, whose smile lights up the room. How are you, Sean?
Doing very well. Now, as my single, childless, kind of pointless existence continues to go on, I often find myself in strange crossroads of culinary decisions, where I will have... I will have the entree of the thing, but I don't have, like, I'll have taquitos, but I don't have, you know, a salsa or anything to dip it in. So I do strange combinations. The one of which I know is probably unique to me and probably sounds crazy to other people, and that's that I dip taquitos in barbecue sauce and eat them.
I've never tried that.
Mm.
But one that I discovered last week that I've returned to multiple times since and I think is actually fantastic. You got your basic, you know, your cheese quesadilla, whether you want to do it on the stove or the microwave.
Love a good quesadilla.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I get a little fancy, put a little garlic salt on them before I melt the cheese, and it's really good.
You're nuts.
But the thing that I discovered, I was dipping my quesadillas in spaghetti sauce.
What?
And it was delicious.
Yeah. Well, okay.
If that sounds like something my kids might like.
A cheese quesadilla is really a child's quesadilla.
Oh, yeah.
But we had them last night for the kids.
Oh, yeah. Well, the quesadilla is really the modern, what do I do with these leftovers? And it can be really good. You got leftover vegetables. You got vegetable meat. You got just throw them in there.
Or in
melt
our
some
case,
cheese on them. Put them twixt some tortillas.
In our case, it's we went to all this work on this meal. Might as well have something they'll eat.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah. I remember.
It reminded me of, like, dollar store mozzarella cheese sticks that you get, like, in an appetizer.
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
just kind of bread, cheese, and a little tomato sauce.
With
it
the garlic sauce?
Oh, yeah.
Is it garlic salt, rather? Oh,
yeah,
I love
yeah.
that.
Dip in the quesadilla in spaghetti sauce. We will try that.
Sounds like something you get at the Olive Garden.
Hey, you know what? When you're there, you're family.
That's beautiful.
Made Joe cry with that. I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty on this Wednesday, February 26th, the year 2020. We're Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
Yeah, all right, then. Let's begin the show officially. According to FCC rules and regulations, you may notice we don't all talk over each other the entire show. Let's begin it. Mark!
Having someone that can lead the ticket, that can bring people with her, is the way you get gun safety legislation. I look at these proposals and say, do they hurt my Uncle Dick in the deer stand?
There you
they
go.
Do not.
Oh,
Uncle Dick, dinner time.
Oh, I forgot. It's my job. There, I did it.
Yeah, one of Brett
Baby Bear, steps.
One of Brett Baer's tweets last
Idiot.
Night was along the lines of, who had Uncle Dick in the deer stand in their debate bingo last night?
That is funny, Brett.
Question, what is a deer stand?
Oh, that's what you put your deer up on to repair it.
God, you know nothing.
It's basically where you're hanging out to hunt deer. But
okay, it's like a hunting lodge.
Up in the air blind.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can surprise the deer and blow its brains out.
Her point was she wants gun laws that don't affect hunters.
Just no, I got that. Yeah. I had just never encountered a deer stand.
Uncle Dick in the deer stand. If you don't use the deer stand, and when you park your deer, it'll tip over. Scratch the chrome. Uncle Dick could have told you that.
How does mailbag look?
Oh, it's fine. It's good. It's super.
Trump's got his highest approval ratings yet. That's
Wow. Wow.
Peaking too early. Save that for October.
I feel like I have a script for a really great movie in my hand, and I'm dying to flip to the last couple of pages.
Yeah.
This whole election thing is just so Looney Tunes.
Anyway,
I have no idea where it's going.
We'll catch up on all this. I hope you can stay with us.
Armstrong and Getty.
Show. We'll play what I thought was the line of the night in the debate last night, coming up after the bottom of the hour.
I thought we already did that with Uncle Dick in the deer stand.
Elizabeth Warren got in Bloomberg's shorts again over sexual harassment. That was quite the dramatic moment in which there was booing. Did she get booed or was he getting booed? I couldn't tell.
I don't know. It wasn't clear. There were times that, you know, Bernie would say, the downtrodden are starving. And people would, yeah. It's like, they want them to starve, or is that they're glad Bernie's saying it? It's not clear to me. Not clear at all. Mailbag.
My point was, we'll get into that coming up.
Let's see. I'm looking for a good freedom-loving quote of the day. You know, how about Robert Ingersoll again on his, from his book, The Liberty of Man, Woman, and Child? The man who does not do his own thinking is a slave and is a traitor to himself and to his fellow men. That's probably useful to repeat, given the herd mentality of politics.
Well, I'll tell you what, my freedom-loving quote of the day, or the lack of it, would be, my belief is the more government you have, the less freedom you have. It just seems to be true by definition to me.
Yes.
And last night's debate was the furthest left, most big government conversation on a national stage we may have ever had in this country.
I think it certainly was. Yeah.
And
In the context of a major party, yeah.
The question being, has the country moved to where these people are? Well, not as far as they all are, but it's certainly headed that direction to have that many candidates that far left. I'll have to talk about a debate I heard yesterday from Paul Krugman of the New York Times and a socialist who called Paul Krugman a moderate.
No!
Which is a joke if you know those people. But
right.
We've just moved way left as a society, and people like me need to recognize that. You can be unhappy with it, you can fight against it, but you have to recognize it's happened.
Yep. So, listen, we're going to post this at armstrongandgetty.com. It may already be up, I'm not sure, but alert listener Benjamin sent this along and said, seriously, the coolest thing in a long while. It is, this artist has dedicated herself, her hobby now, is she updates the classic portraits, be they paintings or photographs of historical figures, and she gives them modern haircuts, modern clothes, and a modern portrayal of them. Because some, like, old-timey portraits have people looking very flat and weird. But it shows them the way they would look if they were in the world today. And it's difficult to communicate exactly why that's so interesting and amusing.
Do you have any examples?
Sure. Napoleon, for instance, was striking what he looks like. A couple of Roman emperors. Caligula looked like a weaselly rich kid. And he was a famously debauched, sick, cruel perv. And then Julius Caesar looks like a statesman. You would vote for him for president. It was quite amazing. Lincoln was striking as well. But there are a bunch of these portraits, you know, even like Anne Boleyn and Elizabeth I. And did I mention Napoleon, right?
Hotties. Look like hotties.
Actually, several of your historical. I'm trying to get Nefertiti's number right now. I'm trying to maybe reach out to her on Twitter.
And where do I find this stuff?
At ArmstrongandGetty.com.
Oh, our website.
Yes.
Oh, okay, I'll have to check that out.
It's actually quite good. I'm going to go in a quiet moment to this gal's website and look at the rest of her pictures. Mm. If you're a fan of history, I think you will find it really intriguing. Moving along, Ron and Anita write, "Hey, our kids age 8 and 10 would like to know why you don't use Study the World anymore." I don't know. We felt like it ran its course.
No, I have an answer for that, but I'm not going to say it on the air.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Huh?
I was here, and I don't know what you're talking about. Of course, I don't remember yesterday, so okay. Moving along. That's mysterious. Let's see. Socialism explained to a 13-year-old Dan in Honolulu with the classic. Listen to your show on the way to take my 13-year-old daughter to school. Shout out to Dan. Hashtag girl dad, right? Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Fabulous. I got two of my own. She happens to be a very hardworking student. As a result, earned straight A's. The other day she asked, "Dad, what is socialism?" I said, "Socialism's goal is to make things equal between people." But the example I gave was this. You work very hard at school. You get straight A's. Another girl does not work hard, earns C's. Socialism takes your A's away from you and gives them to the other girl. As a result, you both get B's. She immediately gasped in horror.
Well, that's his presentation of it. To be fair and present it from the other side, the way they would present it is, you've got all the advantages in life, so you got an A. That other person doesn't have your skin color, your parents don't have as much money, doesn't have as nice a clothes, so they're always worried about what other people think of them, so they can't study,
right?
Et cetera, et cetera. And tragic. So you have to give them some of your unearned privilege to bring it up to evil.
Yeah.
Equal. That's funny. What a Freudian slip. That might be the first actual Freudian slip of my life.
That was good. It was strong.
They said evil instead of equal.
Yeah. Well, the counterpoint to your counterpoint would be, well, they've run that experiment over and over and over again, and it always results in the A students no longer striving and the not good students no longer striving, because either way, they were not rewarded nor, you know, anti-rewarded, punished for their effort or lack of effort.
That's
so
like,
nobody puts any effort
that's
out.
Like just your opinion, man.
No, that's the data, man.
Counterpoint, effort sucks.
Why are you standing up for evil? You're lazy, you're evil. I need better friends.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Certainly, not all politics or all debate all the time. We're just going to hit you with some highlights. I got a number of other things. The ridiculous reasons why people dumped someone in a relationship. How about Harvey Weinstein walking out of the courthouse without a walker? Hey, my back is fine.
It's a miracle!
a variety of other things we can talk about. This whole debate thing that we're about to get into. How about this for a backdrop? President Trump has the highest approval ratings he's ever had in the Real Clear Politics average, the average of polls, not just one outlier wackadoo poll.
Right.
But he's got the highest approval rating he's ever had in the average and the lowest disapprove he's ever had in the average. His disapprove is still higher than approve, which is historically like never happens.
But, right.
But that's something.
Yeah,
as
it is.
A backdrop.
I would not want to be running against him at this point, given the strength of the economy, et cetera, the coronavirus notwithstanding. However, the Democratic Party feels duty-bound to run someone against them, and frankly, it'd be odd if they didn't. And to that end, they are holding a series of primaries, caucuses, and indeed, last night, another debate. I want you to brace yourselves. This is not The View. Actually, you know what, Hanson, is just I thought earlier I should have told you. We got to come up with a clip of The View of all those obnoxious cackling hens cackling over each other and compare it to, ladies and gentlemen, this from the debate.
Mr. Steyer.
I think we're talking about
that. We'll get to you, Mr. Sanders.
Let's talk about it. Can I say something? Look, first of all,
let me go.
I think she was talking about my plan, not yours.
I think we were talking about math, and it doesn't take 2 hours to do the math. Because let's talk about what it adds up to.
Let's talk about math.
Let's talk about math.
Let's talk about math.
Okay, so here's the math. No, here's the math.
Can I respond to the
doing nothing is what will happen.
Senator Sanders, you're allowed a quick response, and then we would like to allow the other
candidate. Moderator, guys.
Senator Sanders?
Moderator. It's my turn.
This helps a lot, doesn't it?
Nerds. That was not some sort of studio creation, my friends. That was a sample of what went on for 2 hours.
There's a lot of that, too. I'm of two minds on this. One is, as a moderator, if I was the moderator, think, you know what? You're grown-ups running for president. I'm going to let you handle this the way you want to handle it. And if that's the way you want to act in front of people, and that's what you want to show to people, go for it.
Mm-hmm. It does reveal.
On the other hand, the reason Pete, for instance, was jumping in the way he was is so many people have been rewarded over the years by breaking the rules.
Yeah.
They end up having the clip of the night because they broke the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And the moderators let them get away with that. So if I was coaching a guy, I'd say, you got to jump in with your thing. You just have to jump in and talk louder.
Yeah.
Because people regularly win the debate. Win, using my finger quotes, to what extent these debates ever have any effect on anything. But you end up with the clip of the night because you jumped in and broke the rules. You've got to establish from the beginning, look, maybe even be able to turn off the mics.
Yeah.
If you jump in when it's not your turn, I'm turning off your microphone.
Yeah.
You don't get to just overpower somebody and get the big applause line.
Biden is taking shots as being a whiner. Because he's asking them to enforce the rules, and he
right.
sticks to them, and that says, I guess it's my Catholic upbringing, I'm uncomfortable breaking the rules.
But if everybody breaks the rules, you see what happens. You just get everybody talking at once.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks my voice is going to be heard louder or something. I don't know what they think, but
yeah.
there were long chunks of it where it was like that. It was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, there was one moment where there were four people speaking simultaneously, just waiting for somebody. Well, you'd have to have three people give way so they could be heard. It was a battle for supremacy.
Yeah, that was just one example. Here's another version later, and this happened over and over again.
We'll have a fact check.
Let's look at the fact
my
check.
Goodness.
Can I respond to
doing nothing is what will happen.
Senator Sanders, you're allowed a quick response, and we would like to allow you to
get the moderator, guys.
Here's the deal. I'm not out of time. You spoke over time, and I'm going to talk.
That was why I described it as a circular firing squad.
Why
it was amazing.
Why has nobody ever gone with the idea of we'll only turn on your microphone after we answer your question when your time's up? Microphone goes off.
Right.
And then we go to the next person.
We'll give you a 5-second grace period in case you mistime your sentence. You know, you're only human, but that'd be fine.
I think having each of them in soundproof booths like the old game show quiz show is the only way to make that work, because otherwise the loud voice will just get picked up on the person standing next to him's mic.
I think a soundproof booth on a dolly with a Hannibal Lecter mask for each of the candidates, and then you just take the tape off their mouth after each question, and you put the tape back.
Finally, somebody talking common sense.
Hey, how about you buzz in like Jeopardy? Seriously, you have
I got
to
the answer. I'm the best candidate.
Listen, this is a bit of a philosophical tangent, but a great deal of attention paid to the debate last night, which actually did have some elements of a debate, but it was a firing squad and a poop show and the rest of it. It was just crazy and dumb, mostly. Not entirely, but mostly. Completely ignored, and it's the terrible CNN doing it, so I hate to even tip my cap to it, but they're having one of those candidate town hall forum-y things where they bring each one of them out to answer questions from common folk and the moderators, and they go back and forth, and they explain their plans.
One at a time, so nobody can talk over you.
One at a time, exactly. And then the next guy comes out.
That's a clearly...
More like a dog show than a dog fight.
That's clearly a better format, yet doesn't get close to the number of viewers.
Nobody's going to pay attention just because I don't know, as of Nixon and Kennedy or Lincoln and Douglas, or somebody just fell in love with the notion of a debate. That's what we need to listen to, even though the other one is much more revealing. And as a voter, it is much, much, much more instructive. I mean, in terms of who you ought to vote for. To the extent of a town hall, you get done with one of those town halls, you're down to two choices. I guarantee you, those forum things. You listen to a debate, it's virtually useless.
And yet,
as a people, we're in the habit. We're in the rut. I don't know why.
I don't remember. One of my favorite lefty pundits said, I can't believe they wasted a couple of questions at the beginning of the debate on polling numbers. That's just a complete waste of the debate's time.
It's idiotic.
Yeah.
Which polls?
All of them.
Okay.
Senator Biden, you are down slightly in some polls. Do you think you still have a chance to win?
What's the answer to that?
I know. It's so bad.
So I mentioned what I thought was the line of the night for my taste, and it came in a long little thing from Mayor Pete, so I thought we would play that.
The only way we're going to restore American credibility is to actually win the presidency. And I am not looking forward to a scenario where it comes down to Donald Trump with his nostalgia for the social order of the 1950s and Bernie Sanders with a nostalgia for the revolutionary politics of the 1960s. This is not about what coups were happening in the 1970s or 80s. This is about the future. This is about 2020. We are not going to survive or succeed, and we're certainly not going to win by reliving the Cold War. And we're not going to win these critical House and Senate races if people in those races have to explain why the nominee of the Democratic Party is telling people to look at the bright side of the Castro regime. We've got to be a lot smarter about this and look to the future.
Sanders. I thought that was the line of the night.
If good sense won elections, he just won it.
I thought that was the line of the night. Explaining why their top candidate is looking on the bright side of the Castro regime.
That is really good. Little Pete scores.
Oh, boy, that was pretty funny. And then at one point, Pete said, if you're tired of the partisanship and are worn out by all this, imagine if we have the two most polarizing figures, Trump and Bernie, running against each other.
Right.
Which is a heck of a thing to say on a Democratic stage.
But. Well, and listen, it really helps me to go to, for instance, the New York Times to interpret this stuff, because from my perspective, all these people are nuts and they would be terrible for the country. Mayor Pete did not do well according. Well, you know what? Actually, he did pretty well. But Bernie pointed out last night that I've got the highest approval ratings of anyone on this stage.
True.
And I thought, you know what? That's right.
That's true.
That's right. So from a lefty perspective, Pete is not a scary, ridiculous boogeyman. Apparently.
Bernie isn't?
Bernie. Yeah, I'm sorry. But I'm looking at the New York Times review of Pete.
Yeah, Bernie should say that like three times per hour, because that's the only knock on him.
Yes.
Look, you can say I'm divisive and can't pull people together. I've got a 72% approval rating in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, a number of the liberals liked Pete a lot, but they say it's just he has no passion. He seemed frustrated by the lack of time. He's trying to be the adult in the room, but by the end of the debate, he was giving off strong, annoying little brother energy.
But
he had plenty of zingers to lob at Sanders.
That answer we played right there, though, came at the end of a scrum in which he ended up being the loudest voice, and they all just backed down. The reason he got to say that minute-long answer there was because he talked over the top of people. I just think they should control these things better. Maybe I'm because it's on a rules follower.
I think in that case they actually did recognize him, but
me and Biden have the problem of being rules followers. But I want to hear what they think. I don't want it to be who gets to talk the loudest.
I maintain this will be the last election cycle where we experience debates in this way. It's going to be a thing of the past.
Why wouldn't both parties do what Joe was just talking about? Don't promote this. Promote your big town hall. Make that the big event.
Yep. Trot them all out in random order, and then do it again next week in a different order, then do it the following week in another order, and let people tune in as they will.
Have a night of foreign policy, a night of health care, a night
like
of whatever.
Idea. Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, have them each do, I'm thinking just now I'm thinking as a guy in the media business. If you were to give each person, you know, 5 minutes on domestic policy and 5 minutes on foreign policy, and have a roughly hour-long show and do that once a week. That would seem to be it's clearly a better idea than that fracas of yelling and talking over each other.
No, I was talking about my turkey.
But
did any other president do that today? That is not us.
Editing that together to make it sound that way.
My stress level just goes, ooh.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why I hate it so much. It stresses me out.
But did any other president do that today?
If you're ever in the hospital, somebody's lost a lot of blood and their blood pressure is dangerously low in the emergency room, play them about 2 minutes of that. They'll be leaping off the gurney. Let me out of here.
Or if you got somebody in a room with you and you don't like them, play that. Might kill them.
Right.
So that was The View.
Yes.
As opposed to the debate.
Yeah. It was.
No, I was talking about my turkey's old post before.
Here's The View.
But did any other president do
George Bush.
I did not notice that that was the view when you played it. Well, that makes
they
the
mentioned
point.
George Bush, Joe. How is that going to be in the debate last night?
What?
Oh, that's good stuff.
Oh my God.
We'll hit you with some more highlights spread out throughout the show. We don't want to kill you.
This is the state of democracy.
Armstrong and Getty.
Is preparing to open her own modeling-inspired theme park. It's like a regular theme park, except you throw up before you go on the roller coaster.
Good one.
I get it.
We'll have a little more debate stuff for you coming up next hour of the Armstrong and Getty Show, maybe when Warren gets into Bloomberg's shorts about sexual harassment again. That was pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
I think she got booed over it.
It was hard to tell. The audience was out of control. That's booing and yelling and the rest of it. Why is it not in front of an empty room?
I had another thing I was going to mention, too. Was it?
We have plenty of clips for you.
Those tickets are apparently pretty pricey, I think, is why they don't do that.
Oh, boy. Fundraiser?
Oh, right. They're donors. Keep the whole thing running, probably. So Harvey Weinstein, they did this in this article. Well, Sean was pointed this out yesterday. Disgraced movie mogul. Hey, let's change that from disgraced movie mogul to convicted sex offender or rapist or whatever you want to say.
But or both, yeah.
The convicted rapist Harvey Weinstein has hired a consultant to figure out what his life is going to be like now that he's in when he's in prison and how to handle it.
Yeah. I've heard of this. I'd do it myself.
I decided a couple of years ago when somebody pointed this out to me that I should no longer want bad things to happen to people in prison.
Right.
Because that really is not good. That's not the way our justice system should work.
It's extrajudicial punishment, which we're against in this country, and it frequently rewards the worst of the worst in prison.
Right. And plus, yeah, you end up in prison for whatever crime. You shouldn't have to worry about being attacked or anything like that.
Right.
But if Harvey Weinstein does get a little of the other end of the whole rape situation, I'm not going to cry myself to sleep at night.
I hear you. There are levels of outrage, and I'm not going to gin up my highest one for that.
He's probably going to throw around some cash or whatever, right, to make sure he's protected in there?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, won't he go to a serious jail? He's not going to be going to Club Fed, is he?
No.
As a sex offender?
I wouldn't think so.
I would think he'd be in with some bad people. Anyway, he's still in the hospital because he had some heart problems right after the
verdict. Sure he did. Yeah, I imagine they'll keep him segregated, though. So, you know, because he'd be a target of all sorts of craziness. Just
from the high-profile aspect of it?
Yeah, he's super famous and rich and the rest of it. Although, listen,
Epstein
go to the...
hung himself, or somebody hung him.
I go to the gang leader. I say, look, what's your old lady need on the outside? I call up my accountant. I say, hey, this gal needs to pay off a car. Her car's paid for. That gang leader's my buddy. That's the way I'd approach it.
Mm.
Now, he might keep coming and asking. You got to be careful with that. That's when you find the biggest, toughest guy in the yard, and you punch him right in the face.
That's what they say, but
yeah.
I think that'd be hard to do.
Those of you who've done time, I'm kidding. I know.
I'm glad that you have a plan for if you end up doing hard time.
I have multiple plans.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's
the way I am. I plan.
I assume that's not going to happen to me. The other thing that was kind of entertaining is Harvey Weinstein.
You're screwed.
Harvey Weinstein walked out of the courthouse. Yeah, they got good video. I don't know if you've been watching him go in with his walker all hunched over, barely able to get up the stairs, pulling himself up the railing. And then, but
with the posture of what a seven-year-old does when they're pretending they're old.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. As I said at the time, I was using a walker not long ago after surgery. That's not the way you use it.
But he walked out of the courthouse yesterday.
Yes. So. It's a miracle cure.
So that's
that. Movie tradesman.
Hey, speaking of walking out of courthouses and that sort of thing, shocking scene, stunning onlookers in Sydney, Australia, after three baboons escaped from their cages inside a hospital and went on the lam. They had been transferred to that hospital, so the male, it was one male and his two baboon gals. He's got two girlfriends, apparently.
sort of thing goes in baboon world. You try that in American world, well, you're going to have a couple angry ladies on your hand, probably. Anyway, so this one baboon, he was scheduled for a vasectomy. Evidently, he heard about it.
We can only assume. How would he know he was scheduled for a vasectomy?
And he said, boom, toodaloo, I'm out of here.
I see you lie to the baboon and tell him it's an appendectomy.
You two hot babes, you coming with me. And out they went, out the front door of the hospital.
Like Jack Nicholson in Cuckoo's Nest.
That's right. That's right.
They driving the van around town.
Exactly. And so, yeah, he lit out, and they were later captured, and I was kind of rooting for the baboons in this one, but they were captured in a nearby building and brought back to the hospital, although for some reason the lady in charge of snipping the baboon said, we're going to give him a couple of days to rest up, and I don't know why you wouldn't just put him under and do it, but it's kind of sad, because obviously Mr. Baboon and his two sister wives really were thinking of little baboons in their futures, and they heard the scientists talking about it. Anyway.
You know, I live out in the country, and I live not too far from a monkey hospital where they do research on monkeys. It's quite controversial. Every once in a while, there's protests and stuff out there.
But, yeah, I can understand that.
It's a full-on monkey research place. I don't know what goes on in there.
Well, if they're trying to teach him to read and giving him little treats
and stuff
like that.
I don't think that's what's happening.
Yeah. Vaccines and the like. Because a lot of the ugly stuff of the 20th century is just not even done anymore.
So we think.
Yeah. Well, it's not supposed to be done.
Right.
Are you going to march on the monkey hospital?
No.
I was trying to have fun. So sorry.
Will the gentleman yield?
No, I will
baboon
not yield to this monkey court or whatever this thing
this is.
This
is not a monkey court.
Oh, hey.
This is not a monkey court.
Coming up, we have a couple more notes from people who've actually lived under socialist systems.
Oh, cool.
The reality, as opposed to the glowing sales pitch that socialism gets over and over again. Also, Gwyneth Paltrow's son, he's 13, thinks it's bad A that she sells sex toys on Goop. You're a feminist. You're a bad A.
Why does your 13-year-old know about sex toys? Your mom's sex toys.
How do you like that idea, ladies? It's on mom's website.
That's true.
It's the family business.
We mentioned we got more of the debate coming up. Also, reasons someone got dumped. Always a good list.
Armstrong.